The Sultan of Sizzle. The Titan of Toastiness. The Kingpin of Kindling. These are the admired ones. Those who've created the prime place together. They don't just have a backyard. They have the backyard. Because they know a solo stove fire pit is more than just the ultimate smokeless fire pit. It's a place where friendships are forged, football is revered, and food is enjoyed. Solo Stove, the perfect flame for the big game.
When the whole family comes together to watch the game, nobody wants to miss a second of the action to run to the grocery store. With Instacart, you can get all your weekly groceries in as fast as an hour. Less time shopping means more game time. Let's go. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
Happy almost Friday! I honestly have no clue what day it is. I'm so upside down. If I wasn't looking at the computer right now that has the date on it, I would be all kinds of messed up. Here's what I know. It's championship weekend in the NFL. Both games on Sunday and then 2 weeks until the Super Bowl. You guys, the Super Bowl in Las Vegas for first time ever is exactly 2 weeks from Sunday. And then that's it for NFL games that matter. Pro Bowl, that's not even really a game anymore. It's flag football. I guess those guys can practice for the Olympics, but we're down to three games, and then it's a whole lot of news. It never stops. We know this, right? We learned last year that the NFL has strategically scheduled owners' meetings or league meetings or GM meetings every month. It's like every few weeks, and everyone is required to show up and do press conferences. Coaches' breakfasts and GM lunches, and every couple weeks we're going to hear them all talk. It's crazy. It's the same thing over and over again. The NFL does this on purpose so that it's never out of sight and out of mind.
February 27th through March 4th is already when it's back in action with the scouting combine.
Yeah, no, it's not that far away. Couple weeks after, and the combine used to be 4 or 5 days. It's now like a 2-week process. It's a convention. And then, Jay, what are the chances that in April, late March or April, they have owners' meetings? I don't know, in Florida, Arizona.
Oh, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. You'll see it. Because remember last year, we were blown away. It's like, why are we hearing from these people again? We just heard from them a couple weeks ago.
April 1st, clubs that hired a new coach may begin off-season workouts. I'm sure they'll be talking then.
Oh, yeah, but there's meetings. There's going to be meetings in there somewhere. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
It's earlier than April, actually. March. March 24th through 27th. Annual league meetings in Orlando.
There you go. Oh, they do them in Florida this year. Yep, we're going to hear from them at least once a month. Leading up to the draft, and then, of course, it's workouts and it's practices after the draft. It's OTAs, both voluntary and mandatory. We can't miss you if you never go away. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on our Facebook page. Also on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. You can use my Twitter as well. And then our phone number is 855-212-4227. 855-212-4CBS. I don't know if Arthur Blank would have hired Bill Belichick instead. Would have hired Mike Vrabel. These guys didn't want the job. Not sure, but I do know that everyone that I've heard from so far about Raheem Morris is thrilled with his hire for the Falcons. He's been the Rams' D coordinator, and he's been on the defensive side of the ball for most of his career. Now, he has dabbled on the offensive side of the ball in terms of lower-level coaching and being part of meetings, but his bread and butter is defense. Guys love him. We'll hear more as we head through, but Jalen Ramsey, one of the latest I've seen on social to rave about Raheem Morris. The respect that he has in the locker room is palpable. And his success, now as a Super Bowl winning D coordinator, earns him that credibility. At the same time, it's been over a decade since he was hired as a head coach. So we'll see how this goes and how quickly he gets assimilated. But the big question, of course, in Atlanta, if it's not head coach, well, it's now quarterback. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio as we usher in a football Friday. We now know the finalists for the awards, which is always fun because at least we get a picture of who are candidates for these awards. I'm sure you're not surprised that the finalists for the NFL MVP are Lamar Jackson, Dak Prescott, Christian McCaffrey. There's two more. Those three are not just finalists for MVP, but also Offensive Player of the Year. But the MVP group also includes Josh Allen and Brock Purdy. Three of those guys are still playing, which is neat. Two of them are on the Niners, and they play for Kyle Shanahan.
It's what they deserve, the way they played all year, the way they played last year. I mean, both of them at their positions, as good as anybody at quarterback and running back I've been around. Also watched football for a long time, and there's a lot of good players in this league. So it sucks that one person's got to get all those awards, but those guys are right there with those other guys.
He cracks me up. I couldn't tell if he was happy about it or he was annoyed that maybe his guys weren't going to get as much play, not going to get as much run. So those are your five MVP candidates, but not a big surprise. Josh, Brock, CMC, Dak, Lamar. Okay. Other finalists for Offensive Player of the Year with Lamar, CMC, and Dak are Tyreek Hill and CeeDee Lamb. I mean, tell me again why we need to replace Mike McCarthy as coach. I know it's not the end game that the Cowboys wanted, but man, the offense was a juggernaut this year for the most part. Where are the defensive players of the year? Here we go. Myles Garrett for defensive player of the year. Micah Parsons and Deron Bland. Oh, hey, there's more Cowboys. Max Crosby and TJ Watt. Those are your finalists for defensive player of the year. And Watt had 19 sacks, Crosby 14 and a half, and then Miles and Micah each had 14. But then we know about Deron Bland, the new NFL record with five pick sixes. That sounds funny. Five pick sixes, five interceptions returned for touchdowns in a single season. I think the Offensive Rookie of the Year category is actually the toughest one. Of course, C.J. Stroud. But also, Sam Laporta, Jahmyr Gibbs, both from the Lions, Puka Nacua, also in the playoffs with the Rams, and then Bijan Robinson is one of the bright young talents that Raheem Morris inherits. Yeah, that's a tough category. I don't know, Jay, which way would you go?
Oh, man, I agree. That might be the toughest one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at, like, I see Bijan, and I feel like I'm not even thinking him, but he's a rookie running back who had almost a 1,000-yard season.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard not to go Stroud, even though Puka did set rookie numbers, because Stroud's just the position itself. But Puka put up literally historic rookie numbers. It's hard to argue that, too. Mm. Laporta's a beast.
I know it's probably going to go to CJ, as you point out, but if it wasn't CJ, I'd go Puka.
Yeah, I'd agree with
that. Oh, my goodness. He set records left and right and didn't even have Matthew Stafford all the way through, most of the way through. But remember, there's Cooper Kupp on that receiving core as well, plus the work that Kyron Williams did, and yet still, he essentially caught almost everything that was thrown to him this year.
Think about how Kyron Williams isn't even in the conversation. He was a rookie too, correct?
I think he was a second-year guy, but I don't think he played a lot last year. Yeah. So it feels like he was a first-year guy. I'd have to go back and see his numbers from the year before, but I'm pretty sure he was a second-year guy.
You're right.
But did he play a lot the year before? I don't think we really talked much about him at all in 22. I'm looking.
He played in 10 games, didn't start, and he rushed the ball 35 times.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So we're talking about a handful of carries, yeah. So he was a breakout player.
Right.
For sure, if there's such a category.
That'd be a cool one. I mean, Puka could fit that one, too, even though he's a rookie. I guess they all are, technically. But.
Right. So the Rams had some good young players. Texans, obviously, have some good young players. What about the Coach of the Year category? This one's also fun. It includes Kevin Stefanski. Duh. My gosh. What a job he did with the ragtag band of merry men on offense. Let's see. D'Amico Ryans, yes. Dan Campbell, John Harbaugh, and Kyle Shanahan. Oh, Jay, where would you go?
I got to go Stefanski. I was thinking Stefanski even before I saw the finalists come out. Just like you said, four quarterbacks? How many linemen? Five quarterbacks?
Five starters.
How many
if you include, I forgot who started in week 18, but if you include the one that they put in week 18.
Yep. I mean, come on. And they still had 11 wins, made the playoffs. That was an impressive job. That was awesome.
Mm-hmm. No Nick Chubb.
No Nick Chubb, right.
After week two. But Jerome Ford was a bit of a breakout. And that defense was so good. Yeah. It's hard to go. But how does D'Amico Ryans not belong in the same category? Because he's a rookie head coach. He's got a rookie quarterback. He's got a bunch of young players. Didn't Will Anderson have a huge year too? And he was also among those top draft picks last season.
How many receivers broke out for that team? Nico Collins, Tank Dell before he went down.
Right.
I mean, it's
the defense was really good.
Houston too.
I know. And came out of nowhere. It just depends on what perspective the voters took.
I think losing your quarterback is a big deal. And losing your quarterback again, and then again, and then again. I mean, to deal with that and still be pretty consistent throughout the season and win games and make the playoffs, that, to me, deserves Coach of the Year.
More than John Harbaugh, who had the best record in the league, or Kyle Shanahan, who just by virtue of having one quarterback all season, took a major step forward.
I think the roster is just so much better. Yeah, I mean, great jobs out of them, too, of course.
But remember, the Ravens lost a bunch of running backs. Mm-hmm. Then they lost a bunch of pieces on defense.
And Mark Andrews.
Mm-hmm. For a couple of games, too. Oh, yeah, they've had to piecemeal it together as well.
They also have the MVP.
I feel like the Ravens made more in-season moves than any other team out there.
They still made moves.
I know. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Hakeem is in Atlanta, wants to weigh in on Raheem Morris. What do you think?
Yeah, man. It's actually the guy I wanted for Atlanta. I'm glad we got him.
How come?
Yeah, you say how come?
Yeah.
Basically because he's been here before. He's a great DC, and everybody, loves him. Like, he's a guy that makes everyone around him happy. He made me happy the little time he was in Atlanta. And I also want to wish you luck on your keynote speech you have coming up.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right, y'all have a good night.
I had to fly through Atlanta.
You have to fly through Atlanta?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, Augusta, right?
Yes.
Yes. Enjoy it.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Hakeem. Thank you for listening.
All right.
Happy almost Friday to Hakeem.
Have a good time.
Yeah, have a good time. I will definitely have a good time. Well, kind of. It's going to be a bit of a whirlwind, and I'll tell you why, because I'm going to fly there right after working and then be up all day, get met at the airport with a coffee, and the deputy commissioner of the Peach Belt Conference. And then she's going to take me around and show me Augusta. And then she's going to drop me in my hotel. And I'm going to have all of 6 minutes to close my eyes after having been up for more than 24 hours. I'm sure that's not going to be helpful at all. Get dressed, go to dinner with the commissioner and the deputy again. Probably talk to my mom for a couple of minutes. Fall asleep by 9 o'clock with the phone on my face. And sleep 10 hours if I can. Very rarely happens. And then be up all day on Thursday, the panel discussion, the breakout sessions, the keynote, and then back to the airport where I bet there's going to be weather that delays me so that I get stuck in Augusta for 90 minutes. I have to hoof it to my connection in Atlanta, which is a big airport. They never, ever, ever, ever have your connections in the same terminal. What? I think they do it on purpose.
I think they do too.
When you only have to go one terminal, it's actually a victory. But they never, even if it's the same airline, never have your connections in the same terminal.
Minimum 25-minute walk.
And it's always way down the stairs.
Four corridors that are just nothing there.
Right, it's crazy. And so I bet I'm going to get stuck there. And then when I get on the plane in Atlanta, after I get there and phew, made it to my seat, I bet there's going to be an announcement that says, we are number 18 for takeoff. There are 17 planes ahead of us.
It's almost like you've done this.
And then the flight's going to be late getting into White Plains, New York, which is where I'm flying back into. And then I'm going to have all of, I don't know, 10 minutes at home. I'm probably going to get home, have to walk the dogs immediately in the rain.
Yeah, it'll be raining.
Yeah. Unpack one bag. Have the hubs make me a couple of wraps for dinner.
Oh, that's nice.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure he will. Do a quick 30 minutes of breathing, box breathing, and then turn around and drive to work. You think that'll kind of be the story?
Box breathing.
Minus the box breathing.
I think the box breathing is going to be important in that whole day or multiple days.
I'm so mad at myself, too, because I lost something that was important to me on the first plane. Or I'm probably going to lose something that was important to me on the first plane.
Yeah, I sense you might. Yeah.
It ruins the whole trip when you do that.
Oh, sure.
I'm so upset, too.
It's the worst feeling.
It was a gift. And I don't know how it happened because it was right there in the seat. And I don't know what happened after that.
You think it was
stolen? I mean, I was sitting right there. I don't know how it could have been.
Sneaky criminals plucked it. I don't know.
Oh, Jay. I'm so bummed. Anyway, let's hope Delta comes through.
They might. If it's there, if you left it, they should.
Yeah, but
there,
somebody
right?
could have just picked it up and has taken it.
Would you ever do that? I mean, I guess.
Oh, no,
would.
I would never do that.
I could
ever.
Never imagine doing that.
No, I could not take someone else's personal belongings. I would hand it to the flight attendant at the front of the plane and say, I found this in such and such a seat.
Like a civilized human being.
Yeah, I would never take someone's personal belonging like that. I don't care if it. And mine wasn't real expensive, but it was personal.
Yeah, not the point.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. I have hope that it could be there.
Thank you, Jay.
Right.
I have hope in humanity as well.
I try.
I did fill out a form with Delta. Or I probably will fill out a form with Delta.
Get it ready.
Yeah. I filled out the form even before we left the ground in Atlanta because
just anticipating.
Oh, I'm planning on being an idiot. Yeah. Okay, so I wanted to know about the finalists for comeback player of the year. Let's see. If I can figure out where they are. Oh, here we go. Are you ready? I cannot believe Joe Flacco's not in this. This really angers me. What?
He is.
Oh, is he?
Yes.
Oh, why do I not see his name? Oh, I guess he was listed earlier with the Browns. Okay, my fault. Thank you. Baker Mayfield, though. How do we not vote for Baker now, Jay?
It's tough.
I love the Joe Flacco story, but Baker Mayfield's our boy.
Oh, I would vote for Baker over Joe Flacco, definitely.
Would you?
Yeah. For full season of work, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Matthew Stafford, nah, you've got a Super Bowl win. Step down.
Yeah, he's got enough.
Also, Tua's an interesting one because he worked so hard to be durable and play all season. And he did it. I mean, I'm really impressed with the work that he put in very unconventional ways to be prepared not only for the rigors of an entire season, but to protect himself. And then the Dolphins did him a service by beefing up that offensive line. But Tua had to learn how to get rid of the ball a lot quicker. He was more a la Tom Brady this season.
Right.
Getting rid of the ball quicker than he ever has in his career. So the fact that he had to reinvent himself as a quarterback, and look how he did. It was amazing. So I see the value in Tua as well. And then DeMar Hamlin. The only thing about DeMar, and how do you quibble with DeMar? He may end up winning the sentimental vote, and he should. I have no issues with him winning.
It'd be hard not to.
I don't know how many games he played in, though. It was a handful. He was inactive for most of them.
Mm-hmm.
I hope people don't say dumb things like, oh, he only made the team because he was a good story or because he nearly died on the field. No, there's value in DeMar. Even if DeMar never sets foot on the field, there's value in him as a teammate. Obviously, it's not just the guys who are on the field that make an impact. It's also the guys that are on practice squad. It's the guys that are on scout team. And it takes all of these guys. I would have loved, I heard someone say, if there were football gods, I mean, there is a God, but I don't know how much he loves football. I mean, he might. Anyway, the football gods that I don't really believe in, but if they were real, that DeMar Hamlin would have had that first down on the fake punt in the Bills game last week.
It was like too perfect. It was right
it
there.
It was. And it was like, wait, what is he doing with a direct snap? I'm like, wait a minute. I think that says Hamlin. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's number three. Oh, my gosh. That was crazy. So I don't know how you vote. I don't know how you vote for any one of these guys over any. I'm glad it's not my choice.
I think there's a snub for comeback player on here.
Do you?
Yeah. Brees Hall with the Jets. Tore his ACL last year.
It's the Jets, though.
I get it. Yeah, but he almost had a 1,000-yard season. Mm-hmm. He came back week one and was great. And since that first week one Buffalo game, even without Rodgers.
I mean, but who would you pull out of this category?
Maybe Stafford.
Good point. I mean, he did have a really good season.
Flacco. I mean, come on.
Wow. I thought we were in lockstep with Joe Flacco.
I love Joe Flacco, but where did he play? Five games? Six, like, really?
Wow. How quickly you turned. The dude's 38. He was on his couch.
He was fine. He was good.
He was fine. He didn't need to come back.
Not comeback player of the year.
Yeah, but comeback player of the quarter.
Yeah, the quarter year. Midseason or quarter season awards.
They don't need to waste the award on him. They don't make the playoffs
Nothing
without
personal.
Joe. You know that.
I love Joe Flacco.
They don't make the playoffs without Joe.
That's fair. But I say give Stefanski the Coach of the Year award for more of the job he did. But Flacco, comeback player, I think Brees Hall deserves it more.
By the way, your boy Franklin on Facebook continues to post every single day about whether or not he won Survivor.
I have to reach out to him.
Did you figure out what happened?
No. I have to ask
We're just going to let him win.
I might, because he's really persistent. I'll have to
There's another guy that posted tonight, though, about, hey, what about my swag? Someone named Doug. I know, see, when I was away getting married, Jay mailed swag to people.
Yeah.
Was it the Survivor Island winners?
Yeah. I don't remember if Doug was one of them. I'll have to check.
I feel as though people are taking advantage of the situation now.
No more swear out.
I mean, we might as well. We might as well just send swag to everyone.
We could do a new contest soon.
Yeah, we should. We definitely should. Someone on Facebook actually asked me if I flew private jet into Augusta. Okay. Hmm. I work in radio. Number two, that's way above my pay grade. I've never flown private jet in my life, and I don't imagine that's anywhere in my future.
I don't even fly first class.
However, on the honeymoon, there will be a helicopter ride.
Really?
OMG.
Have you ever been in one? I haven't.
No, it's on my bucket list.
That's cool.
It was a gift from some friends as a wedding present. So that will be part of the honeymoon. At some point, I'll tell you about it. Maybe I'll post a picture out of the helicopter. What would you do if I dropped my phone out of the
helicopter? Out of a helicopter? Yeah, don't do that.
No, don't do that. It would land in a volcano somewhere, cause an eruption.
It'd be cool if it was filming, though. Like, while you were taking a video.
Right,
and
because
like, oh,
somebody got it back. Like, what? I mean, I just
found it, maybe, eventually.
In a volcano?
Not in a volcano, but just hit, like, the sand or something.
Oh, I'm just going to find it from
yeah, there it is. Get the coordinates, track it.
I maybe should
find your phone.
Put Find My Phone app on it before I go to Hawaii. Anyway, that's a story for another day. I will tell you the story about the speech on the back half of the hour. I was nervous, so I lost my place in my notes. I'm not used to people staring at me. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS.
The Sultan of Sizzle, the Titan of Toastiness, the Kingpin of Kindling. These are the admired ones, those who've created the prime place together. They don't just have a backyard, they have the backyard, because they know a solo stove fire pit is more than just the ultimate smokeless fire pit. It's a place where friendships are forged, football is revered, and food is enjoyed. Solo Stove, the perfect flame for the big game.
When the whole family comes together to watch the game, nobody wants to miss a second of the action to run to the grocery store. With Instacart, you can get all your weekly groceries in as fast as an hour. Less time shopping means more game time. Let's go. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
A peanut butter M&M's production.
In a world where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing, one retired cop returns...
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry. One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his...
That's claim a ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort, coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
Porch Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
You celebrated my touchdown by taking off your shirt, screaming, jumping out of the suite, chugging a beer with the fans, then jumping back into the suite. I watched this and it was pure pandemonium. Just pandemonium. Tell you what, man, if you don't run for president, this all is just going to go to waste. This is all just, it looks like a political campaign.
Stop.
There's nothing political about this. This is just a man in his elements with his Bills Mafia compadres enjoying the dead of winter. That's what this is. I wish I would have stayed out there longer to actually get my nipples hard enough.
Your thermostats couldn't gauge how cold it was yet?
My thermostats didn't regulate to the temperature.
There was not enough cameras on the suite where you could see Kylie, though. I wanted to see her reaction to all of this so bad.
I'm not gonna lie, I gave Kylie a heads up. The moment we got into the suite, I said, I'm taking my shirt off and I'm jumping out of that suite. And she said, Jason, right, don't you dare. I was like, hey, it's letting you know what's happening. I'm not asking for permission. I'm doing this.
Once a Kelsey man's determined, there's no stopping him.
Nice.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Oh, there's more. There's more with Travis and Jason Kelce. And yeah, spoiler alert, this other bit of the story includes Taylor Swift.
And she was already telling me to be on my best behavior because we were meeting Taylor.
This is hilarious.
I was like, Kylie, when I met you, the first day I met you, I was blacked out drunk and fell asleep at the bar. This is part of the charm. This is part of the Jason Kelce charm.
Really?
I want to make my best first impression. This is my best chance.
My best first impression is the worst impression ever. So I could just build
set
that from
bar,
that point
nice
on.
And yeah, exactly.
My favorite part of that whole thing is the way that Travis cackles. Can you go to like the middle part of it when Jason's talking about how he met his wife, Kylie?
This is part of the charm. This is part of the Jason Kelce charm. I want to make.
He sounds like Tom Hanks in. What's my movie? Tom Hanks
Money
in
Pit.
Money Pit. Thank you. Oh my gosh.
Drunk and fell asleep at the bar. This is part of the charm. This is part of the Jason Kelce charm.
It's one of my favorite movie scenes of all time, Marco Belletti. Like, as in all time.
Can't argue. Love that movie.
No, my gosh. It's the last comedy I ever watched in movie form. I don't even like comedies anymore. No, I guess I've seen a couple of Vince Vaughns. Does Elf also get Will Ferrell's
yeah,
Vince Vaughn?
Those are comedies,
Elf also
yes.
Okay, fine.
Yes,
I've seen
comedies.
Elf.
Those are comedies.
But after Money Pit, I retired.
That's 1986. That did it for you? That was it?
Well,
it ended there?
I don't think I saw it in 86, but...
So the bathtub went through the
yes, went through the floor, mm-hmm, all the way down to the basement. I have seen that movie so many times, and every single time I know it's coming and it still cracks me up. And I saw it again, not when it was in theaters or anything, but because I love Tom Hanks movies. And so that was one of ones I got later. Like I didn't see Big when it was out. I saw it much later. Mm-hmm. But I mean, there's nothing better than his performance in Money Pit.
I love that movie. I got to say, I think that's
OMG.
A cult classic. I don't think it did that well. I think it's one
care.
Of those movies that kind of slipped through the cracks.
Yeah, so good. So good. Let's talk to Lynn, who's in Buffalo. Lynn, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, Amy. Thanks. I was just wondering if you had heard about, of course, after Tyler Bass missed the field goal, you mm-hmm. know, of course, people start getting, you know, the haters are all out on social media. So
oh,
then
yes.
they started donating to a charity that he's into, a really cool cat rescue that we have here. And the last I knew, it was up to like at least $300,000.
Interesting that you say that, because when I was giving my keynote address to the Young Women in the Peach Belt Conference earlier on Thursday, one of my topics was social media and some of the pitfalls and the dangers of social media, but also the impact that it can have on us as people. And I mentioned Tyler Bass and what happened with him and how fans will lose their minds sometimes as if they were in full possession of them anyway, and will then use social media and the anonymity and the lack of accountability and will go after athletes and will do and say anything. And that Tyler had to deactivate his Insta account, and that it was really neat to see then people start donating. But honestly, I had only checked it the day after. So I had checked the totals on Monday. I'm Googling it now and it says, this was yesterday, over $270,000 in his name to 10 Lives Club. Right. It's a cat adoption group in the Buffalo area.
Yes.
$270,000. Yes. They can start their own cat mansion if they want to. That's amazing.
It's really cool, and I just think it's great. And Travis Kelce did something really cool at the game. There was a little girl sitting in the kind of underneath where his suite was, and mm-hmm. he lifted her up so she could say hi to Taylor.
Oh,
so I thought that was cool. You know?
Yes. Apparently, it's also Taylor Swift fans or Swifties who are rallying behind Tyler Bass, too. Like, they've heard about it, and they're going crazy on this website. So, don't knock Swifties. They're very loyal, and they're very generous.
No. I think, you know, what the heck? The people just got to hate too much, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they got to stop with that.
Yeah, that's really cool. I'm looking for the most updated number. The highest number I see right now is $284,000.
Right. But I saw that on... what day is it? Wednesday night on the late news.
Mm-hmm.
But last night on the late news, I didn't catch the figure.
Okay.
So it's probably higher, but wow. I just think it's fabulous. And I like dogs too, but I just have a real thing with cats.
Well, cats get a bad rap. They definitely can be aloof and do what they want, but I have a cat, so it's really funny because my new husband was not a cat fan, and of course, he had no choice. It was me and the cat, but I agreed to take on his puppy, so, you know, there's some equity there. Anyway, he said to me, I don't like cats because they're aloof and they're standoffish, and then he meets my cat, Sugar, who has never met a human. She doesn't want to sit on your lap or, like get in your face all the time, and now, of course, he wishes the cat were more aloof. Cats have great personalities. They are a hoot.
And I just got to say, as an old woman, there weren't even women DJs until I was in college.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think it's absolutely fabulous that now women are in sports too, just, you know, with the guys. I think it's great.
Well, good. I'm glad you found us to listen. Thank you.
Congratulations on the wedding. I love hearing all about that.
Oh, thank you
that
so much.
Fabulous.
One of these days, I'll have a blog post with a couple of choice, I would say they'll be modest photos, not. Yeah, I mean, just because my husband and I have agreed that he's not going to be on social. He doesn't want to be, and I don't want him to be. But I do want people. I know people are really interested in my dress and in some of the venue. And so at some point when I have time, maybe when the Super Bowl is over, I'll get to that. Because we have seen the photos, and they turned out really well, most of them.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you so much, Lynn. Awesome. I appreciate it.
Be well. Peace.
You too. Bye-bye. That's really neat, isn't it? It's super cool about the Tyler Bass charity. Like I said, when I last checked, it was $25,000. And that was in one day, but it's now nearing $300,000.
It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
For cat adoption.
I'm not going to deny this. I realize it. I wish it was a little bit more with humans. Nothing against cats. I'm not a big cat guy. But even if it was dogs, it's just that's a lot of money, and I'm thrilled, and I'm sure it's going to go in the right spot. But when you're talking about that kind of money to go to a charity, I got to be fair. I would have hoped for humans.
Well, think about it this way. Pets often provide mental health and therapy.
Absolutely.
And companions to humans who desperately need it.
100%.
So if you look at it that way, pets are great companions. I mean, I lived by myself for 20 plus years, and I think I was lonely. Loneliness was kind of a part of my life, but I would have been a lot worse off had it not been for my pets.
Again, love pets. Had a dog, had a cat for a short time too. Not a cat.
A short time? What'd you do to the cat? Don't tell me. Oh, no.
No. The cat lives with my in-laws.
Oh, okay.
The cat liked me a lot, which was hilarious because I didn't want the cat.
Oh, they always know. They always know.
But the cat had biting and scratching issues. And when my son was born, my wife was like, no.
Yeah, you have to be
so
careful.
So the cat lives with my in-laws. Mm-hmm. So we see the cat, but we don't live with the cat anymore.
We visit the cat.
Yes. Yeah. And now the cat's better because it's, you know, old. So it's better with the kids. It kind of goes in and out and hasn't scratched or bitten any of the kids when they see them, you know, randomly, as opposed to every day. That's what we were concerned with.
Right.
So. Yeah, that was luckily my wife made that decision. I didn't have to do it, but I was leaning towards it because I didn't want the cat to begin
with. So my cat is now she's almost 16, and my dog is 14 and a half. Mm. How old is the cat? Your cat?
Oh, boy.
Your ex-cat?
13?
Yeah.
Or 14?
If they stay inside a lot of times, they'll live for... Ribs.
I want to say we had it for like 4 or 5 years. My son's 9, so mm-hmm. yeah, probably around wow. there. Yeah, 14, somewhere in that area.
That's the thing. Pets can also be a long-term investment. They can be a long-term. They just have them around for...
Mm. Again, all four pets. Yes. I'm not a big cat guy, but cool cats are cool. I just, you know, like I said, that kind of money, I just, you know, for a bad situation to be made, great. I'm thrilled. It would have been nice if it was humans. I'm just throwing it out there.
Human companions.
Yes, yeah, yes.
But I know what you mean. That money could feed a lot of people.
Yes, it could. Yes, it could. Yes, it could.
But this is Tyler's charity.
Yeah, and
can
I don't think
imagine?
I don't think he expected
good.
300 grand to go to cat adoption at that point. I don't think he was Bob Barker when he put this whole thing up. He also didn't think he was going to miss a 41-yard field goal to send the Bills home.
That's not why they went home. I got to be honest. You could have given me 50 guesses, and I wouldn't have come up with cat adoption as his charity.
No, I'm sure that there are a lot of things that people, you know, work with a lot of different charities
yes.
and do a lot of different things. And it was something like, you know what, this is cool. And, you know, you like pets and you want to make sure that they don't get harmed and they get adopted and everything. I'm all for that. Every pet that we had was a rescue. Like, yes. yeah. But I don't think he expected this. I don't think Tyler Bass, at any point, you sat him down and was like, you know what? Your pet adoption is going to get 300 grand. You're like,
so
what?
Great. So great. I love it. All right. Coming up, my stalking Augusta National story and how my keynote went. It was hard with people staring at me. I'm not used to that. I'm just used to Jay, and he doesn't even pay attention half the time. It's After Hours with...
Make this Valentine's Day one she'll remember forever with an engagement ring from JamesAllen.com. James Allen knows each love story is unique. That's why they make it easy to custom design engagement rings at up to half the price of a traditional jeweler. Choose from tons of conflict-free diamonds, both natural and lab-grown, then pick your ring setting and metal. Shop the James Allen Valentine's Day sale and get 25% off with promo code PODCAST. That's 25% off at jamesallen.com, promo code PODCAST.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. 2024 Santa Fe, available early 2024.
Says here that Graybar is a distributor?
Yeah, we support electrical and datacom projects all over the country.
So you can get me the products I need, where and when I need them?
Yeah, thanks to our national logistics network.
Any industry?
Yeah, construction, industrial plants, schools, hospitals.
So you could say Graybar is much more than a distributor.
Yeah, you could say that. When you need a hand powering, connecting, or maintaining your operations, join the thousands of professionals who rely on Graybar to help keep them up and running. Yeah, Graybar does that.
Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. We welcome all kinds here on After Hours.
Lewis, who's in South Carolina, you're up next on After Hours.
Amy.
Yes.
You know, I'm a Clemson Tiger calling from South Kakalaki. I got to tell you, y'all had me cracking up. I want to have some of that stuff y'all were drinking while y'all were doing. I got one more real quick thing, please.
Wait, there's no way you could possibly top that.
This is a lyric from Eddie Money. I think I'm in love and my life's looking up. I think I'm in love because I can't get enough. I'm in love with your show. I'm in love with you, Amy.
Aw, well, that's very sweet, Lewis.
I'm a pilot. I got a plane. I'll be there in about an hour.
You are one hell of a man.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Maybe, just maybe, Eddie Money is singing about the Lions and their fans making it to Las Vegas. Could you, in fact, use a couple tickets to Paradise, Lions fans? I know you're very active on our social media It is good to hear from you on Twitter, A-Law Radio. You can vote for the After Hours Game of the Week. Duh. And then on our Facebook page, too, a lot of Lions fans congregating to share their support and also their anxiety for one another.
The hype train.
The hype train. At least you've got Dan Campbell leading the charge. And we will get to previews of Championship Sunday and let you hear from the QBs, of course, the coaches. Oh, John Harbaugh talking about his brother Jim getting the gig in L.A. I love this hire. I obviously wasn't here last night to talk about it in the immediate aftermath, but I love the fact that Jim Harbaugh is back in the NFL. I've wanted him back in the NFL ever since he and Trent Baalke got into their peeing contest at San Francisco, and he's earned the right to get back in. Probably could have before now, but he left Michigan in good hands, in good hands. Sherrone Moore expected to be promoted to head coach. I think that's awesome. So Michigan got the best of both worlds with Jim Harbaugh for, what, nine seasons, a championship, and now a coach who is well-groomed. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Okay, so a couple of things I got to tell you about my trip to Augusta. First of all, Diana, the deputy commissioner of the Peach Belt Conference, picked me up at the airport, and she had coffee for me, which was awesome. We went immediately to Augusta National Golf Course. If anyone had been paying attention, as in law enforcement, we might have been pulled over for stalking because we drove by slowly in front so that I could get a photo, but also B, just get sneak peeks. It's not a place where you're supposed to be seeing anything. I'll tell you that. But the entrance at Magnolia Lane was open. The gate was open. Now, you can't drive in, but the gate was open and we could see down Magnolia Lane. Producer Jay, the white buildings, the iconic lane, the trees, we could see shot because the trees are thinner right now. I mean, it's not like they've lost all their leaves, but because the trees have thinned out, you drive down farther and you can actually see a few of the holes.
No way.
Yeah. And then she drove me around the back where the service gate is open. And again, you can see through the gate and you can kind of see some of the white buildings, the famous white buildings up on the hill. So, so cool just to be there and know what will happen there in a couple of months. But yeah, she drove me by Magnolia Lane. And it's not marked, by the way. There's no sign on the street that says Magnolia Lane. They do not care if you know it's there. I'm telling you, it is pretty incredible. And so there's fences and there's trees all the way around it. There are some homes, but Augusta has bought up a lot of the spaces and cleared out a bunch of houses around it, specifically in back off the main road for parking. Parking's free. I mean, you have to get there before it fills up, but they're not concerned about making money so much on the event in terms of parking and the patrons. It's a very classy, well-done event. Anyway, we drove by slowly multiple times. I did get a couple of photos just of the sign that says, it's a very small sign that says Augusta National and no sign that says Magnolia Lane. But as we drove by, I was able to get a good gawking at it, and it was pretty cool. So I got goosebumps just driving by it three times.
There was something in the air there.
It's just something different about being in Augusta National. Yeah, it was really cool. So now maybe I will generate my request as to be a media person to cover the event. I've always had that in the back of my mind. I've never actually applied, but why not? It usually happens right after my birthday. Not that they care about that, but I've never even tried to get a press pass. So now I'm gung-ho about it again, wanting to get a press pass.
So if you're there covering the event, how far from the course are the hotels, or where would you stay?
Oh, there's hotels all around it. Yeah. It's like any big event venue. Now, granted, they do two major tournaments, one women's, one men's. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, the rest of it is completely private. But obviously, it turns into a small metropolitan-like area, right, when it's the Masters and the influx of people. And I don't just mean fans, because they limit fans, but the golfers, their teams, the caddies, the sponsors, the corporate partners, the members, the media, like all of
TV
that.
Crews, yeah.
Right. They've got to have space for all of those people. And the airport is pretty small. And so they've got another one that does mostly private. And then they've got the main airport, which, by the way, features a putting green. and greenside hazards and a center pin location.
Of course.
Of course, right at the airport. So, of course, I'd take a photo of that. You can check it out on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page. Producer Jay put it up there as well. It was super cool. That was not the best part of the trip, though. I was blown away by just seeing it and being there in its orbit. But I'll tell you about the event in my speech coming up. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
A Peanut Butter M&M's production.
In a world where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing, one retired cop returns.
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry. One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his.
That's claim a ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort. Coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. 2024 Santa Fe, available early 2024.
Nobody wants a surprise in their jelly donut.
It's toothpaste?
That's because the middle is the most important part. At Graybar, we're at the middle of electrical and datacom jobs across the country, connecting installers, facility managers, and business owners with smart solutions for their most challenging projects, which means stocking and delivering crucial products on time and on budget, with no surprises, thanks to our nationwide logistics network. Yep, Graybar does that.
Get ahead of postage rate increases this year with Stamps.com. It's like your own personal post office. Sign up with promo code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com code PROGRAM.